All right, everybody, welcome to the Running Anthropologist Podcast. So grateful that you would spend some time with us today exploring running culture and being inspired by two amazing gentlemen that I have gotten to know through my local running club. But they are two of the nicest guys you'll meet traveling, who knows, anywhere in the United States, because they just completed their 50 marathons in 50 states across the U.S., finishing in Hawaii. And I got to tell you, they have a great perspective, amazingly optimistic and positive, from the big ones to the small ones to the little unique corners of states that you might not consider marathon cities. All of those are going to be posted on our blog site as well, but we talk about their highlights, some of their challenges, and tips for planning destination races. How do you set things up to make it to all those marathons, and what are some of the things that they learned, some of those life lessons that they can pass on to us? I'm so grateful to have them after this 7-year journey. Guys that, you know, didn't call themselves distance runners just a few years ago, turning into those 50-staters. This is just such a cool part of marathon culture that I'm so happy to share with you on Running Anthropologist. I know many of you have your own stories to share about your favorite destination races and marathons. You're welcome to share those with us as well on our blog site, runninganthropologist.com, or send us a message. You can find us on Facebook or on Instagram at Running Anthropologist, and you can also reach out to us anytime that you would like to share something inspiring about running culture. Without further ado, let's get to the story. George Gonzalez and Jonathan Rushnick. Today we're welcoming George and Jonathan to the Running Anthropologist. So grateful that you took time to describe to us and tell us all about your adventures. Welcome.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
So the most famous thing that you've done, which I'm sure is not the biggest thing, but it's the biggest running thing, is that you've accomplished running a marathon or half marathon in all 50 states. And I know that that is comprised of around 75 marathons and a bunch more halves. I'd love to hear all about it, but first I would like to hear about both of your running routes and how you started this journey together.
Oh, I've been running since 1997, and it came about in work. Actually, it was a corporate 5K down in Miami, and everybody was signing up to do it, and I had literally never even run like a block. And I decided, oh, I'll go ahead and sign up for it. It sounds fun. Everybody in work's doing it. And I did, and I didn't do half bad for never practicing or never getting out to run. And I found it just exciting and fun, the whole atmosphere around it, with everybody participating, people walking. It was people of every ability. And that's what kind of drew me to it, was just the camaraderie, even without necessarily the athleticism being the highest component.
Cool. And so from that, obviously, at some point, George joined in and you guys decided you wanted to run a marathon, or how did that come about?
Nope. So, to be quite frank, I hate running.
And yet,
I've completed a marathon in every state. But what it started was, honestly, I mean, I've done some 5Ks here and there, but I just didn't really enjoy it. I think because I'm very competitive. So if I wasn't in the top two or three, I was like, what is this worth? Huh. But over the years, I gained a lot of weight. And then a friend of mine had several mini strokes at work, and I found him in his office.
Wow.
And that kind of said, all right, so I need to do something about my weight and my training. So at that time, Jonathan used to go with our nephew Joseph to a Thursday run over in Wesley Chapel. So I would go with him, they would run, and I would wait for dinner, and I would eat. So I met this lady, and her name is Lynn, and she, you know, she, I heard some of her story about how she got training, and it wasn't judgmental. You could just go and have fun and do a 5K or do as much as you can. You can go slow, you can go. So I started with that. Started on a Thursday night, slowly. And then we did a 5K together. And then a 5K became a 10K. And then we went up to Atlanta, did the Peachtree Road Race a couple times. A
very inspiring one.
Yep. Jonathan used to do it every year when we were in Atlanta.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I never did. And then that became where Lynn was the first one that said, you know, you should do Sarasota Half. It's local. You can take your time. It's good. It's good practice. So we did. That was our first half.
Okay.
Together. And that was really good. And I got really, really good time. At least for me, it was really good. My first one was 1:51, I think it was.
Under 2 hours. That's a great first half.
So that was a great first half, right? And then I was hooked. And then I was like, okay, let's practice. I can go faster. And I think my second half, I got 1:47.
Felt good to reduce the time. And then that became part of your...
Felt very good.
Yeah.
So then somebody said, you should do Space Coast. And we waited and waited and waited because I wasn't sure. And by the time we went to enroll in the Space Coast half, it was already sold out. Lynn was like, just do the full. I'll be there to support you. Again, I was like, you know, okay, I'll do the full. I trust her. And that was our first full.
That was your first. And that's the one, what I gather, you've done the most. You've done it like 5 times.
Six times now. Six times. So we did. So that was exciting. Right after that first one, we did the Dopey Challenge, which was the inaugural Dopey Challenge.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And we looked at each other and said, we should do it. Let's go do it. It's inaugural. It should be fun.
For those not familiar, Dopey is?
So Dopey is a race that Disney puts together. And you start with a 5K on the Thursday. And then Friday, you do a 10K. Saturday, you do a half. And Sunday, you do the full.
Whew. Okay. That's probably the biggest challenge that you can conceive of, at least in Florida.
At least in Florida, right?
It's January, so it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, at least in Florida. So that was kind of fun. And it was their inaugural. They were learning a lot. So we haven't done it since, but we hear it's gotten way more organized and better.
Okay.
But that kind of launched our sort of running a marathon career.
Wow, that's awesome. And you guys were experienced seasoned travelers already because of work and other things, and you lived in many places. So was that part of the reason, like, you wanted to travel more, you wanted to see these places? Was that part of the reasoning for the goal?
I don't even know so much as that. I think when you kind of get out and do at least a marathon or two and start to meet people from other places... Uh-huh. And that I think kind of started it, kind of talking to the different people from different states, and they're like, oh, you know, especially here in Florida, you do run into all types. Space Coast tends to be very local. I will say that it tends to be heavily dominant. Tampa and Orlando contingency show up, and then you get the fringes from the rest of the state and the country. But when I think Disney, it's like we were. Probably felt like the only Floridians running in a Disney race. Everybody was from up north because they're escaping January weather in New York and Pennsylvania. So, and I think that I'm kind of a social butterfly when it comes to that. So, you know, anybody not familiar with the Disney race, half the time that you spend at Disney to run a race is spent standing and waiting. You know, it's like so
early
it's,
morning. It's, yeah.
You know, they bus you out at 3 a.m. So you have a good 3 hours to chit chat with different people from all over the country. And I think that's kind of what started it for us. Like, maybe that sounds like a lot of fun, you know, maybe going to another state. And it still hadn't even really, that really wasn't even the catalyst, I don't think, even at that point.
And so you were running these marathons and you said, okay, you set a goal race. And then when was it that you kind of decided, oh, we could feasibly run in every state? Or what put that in your head?
So when we ran the third marathon, we joined this group called Marathon Maniacs.
Marathon Maniacs.
Which, again, okay. Lynn was, she's the guilty party in all of these.
All right, all right.
As you can tell. But she was like, oh, you should join this group. It's kind of fun. You get to meet a lot of people, all different levels. And it makes it fun when you travel together, right? Hmm. So you have a group that you at least attach to, right? And usually they have dinners the night before, and you can kind of share experience.
Oh, neat. Okay.
So to qualify for that group, you have to run 3 marathons in 90 days.
Hmm.
So okay. Part of that. So then we looked, and we were like, oh, we missed it. So we had to run 3 marathons in 90 days. So we booked 3 marathons in 90 days. So we booked one on a Saturday. I think that was Miss Alabama. Then a week later, we were going to run one in Louisiana, the Louisiana Marathon. And then a month later or something like that, we were going to run another marathon.
Hence the word maniacs. That must be where they get it from. Yeah.
Exactly.
Actually, we ran Miami, Alabama, and then it was Louisiana. But I think our qualifying one was Twin Cities.
Twin Cities.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was our qualifying one. And then we started meeting other maniacs that said, you know, do you belong to the 50 state group? And we were like, what is that?
If you're going
to
be a maniac, you already got 3 down.
Right. You already got 3 down. Keep right? going.
And I think that was the point. We were like, well, you know, we're already this far.
Or in this case, you probably had like 5 or
right.
4 down.
Right? It really wasn't many.
Yeah. Correct. Yeah. So then somebody said, go and check out the website. So we went. And to join the group, to even qualify for the 50 staters, you have to have 10 marathons.
Okay, in 10 different states?
In 10 different states.
Yeah. Okay, okay.
To qualify to join the group. They're very strict. It's a very strict group. So then we said, okay, well, let's try it and see.
What's 5 more?
Right, what happens? So we started. So what we did was we started running around Florida. So
okay.
We did most of the Southeast. And then, crazy enough, we started going out west, like really out west.
Because you said, I got to get those done at some point.
Yeah,
so
right.
And it's so beautiful.
Right. Now, so we did Utah.
Utah, okay.
We did Cottonwood Marathon, which is great. If you want a fast race, that's the one.
Cottonwood. All
right. Cottonwood.
Is that outside of
Salt Lake?
Salt Lake.
Okay, I've heard of it.
But you will have bloody toes, probably, if you run really fast.
Oh, okay, because?
You're going downhill.
It's constant. Going 20 miles downhill.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
So, and there's a lot of switchbacks, but it is fun. It's beautiful. And it's, so what they do is they bus you up to the top of the mountain, and then you run down.
Interesting. So then you finish at the bottom. You don't have to repeat the loop going back up.
Correct. So you finish at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
So that's a good one to run. And then it just kept going from there. So then we had a board. We had to set up a board because what we found was that we were double booking flights, double booking hotels, double booking. We would forget to book a car. So we have this big board in our office and we would plan for the year. Some years we did, I think we did 3 marathons some years. The most we did was 16 marathons in one year.
16 a year. So a total, it took you guys like 4 or 5 years. Is that right?
7 years.
7 years. Okay. 7 total from when you said,
we're going to do it.
We're going to do it. Okay.
Yep.
And over that time, you probably averaged, I guess, 10 a year, it would have to be, or a little less than that?
Kind of, maybe 9 a year. There was a year that we only did one. Because we were relocating to different cities, so we were kind of back and forth.
No pressure. Whatever you can fit in that year.
No pressure. So, that was it, you know.
The logistics have to be the most difficult part. I mean, I've planned to travel to a city for a marathon, and it can be expensive, and you have to think about things you need. And that had to be to do 10 in a year, for example, or 16 one year. That had to be challenging.
That's what started the whiteboard chart, because we literally, I think we ended up in one city and realized we'd forgotten to rent a car. And it's just like, oh, crap. So that's why we decided to go ahead and We lined all of them up in chronological order, what we wanted to run that year, whether or not we paid for the race, hotel was booked, rental car booked, flights booked. So we would have a checklist and say, okay, you know, yes on that one we booked the flight, no on that one, we'll wait on that one. We already got the hotels reserved for that. Because that's the other key too. Some of these cities are so tight as far as hotel accommodations. Like for instance, this summer, I would love, you know, with relocating up to Minnesota to be able to run Grandma's Marathon. That's a big one everybody talks about. Well, there's not a lot of hotels in Duluth, Minnesota, apparently, because it's booked out for months. Wow. So okay. Marine Corps is another one that we run every year, and we always book the day after the marathon because that's when the hotel reservations open up. So to get one close to a metro stop, they go quick. So so we kind of learn these things over the years that for some reason, a lot of the ones in the Southeast, I mean, we did some where we booked, you know, on a Wednesday to show up and run the race on a Saturday. So I think Albany, Georgia was one. I looked and I said, well, it's only a 4 or 5 hour drive from Tampa. Let's do that one. And yeah, we got a sketchy motel, but it was ready, you know, and they were accommodating. But, you know, there are some that takes a lot of planning.
So I want to ask you guys about some of the, you know, the best and the most organized and the most fun. But before we do that, I also wanted to ask you, what is it like, you know, in one of those years, that your average year where you do 10 marathons, what is the training cycle like? You know, what does it mean for you guys personally to train for a marathon every month?
Well, like for me?
Yeah. What is that like for you?
So I liked using a marathon as my training, believe it or not. So it was a lot easier because you don't have to do long runs. So I knew that every 2 or 3 weeks I was running around a marathon. So my mind was already set for that. So, you know, we would go and run the marathon and then come back. We would give each other, we would give our bodies a 3 day kind of off.
Okay.
And then start again with 4 miles, 5 miles every day. The 3 days before the race, 4 days were there, we wouldn't run anything. We would just give our bodies a break. And then we would just do the marathon and then start the cycle all over again.
Okay, so that initial marathon, obviously you're kind of building up mileage, right. But then after that, you're kind of, those you're are your long runs.
Those are your long runs, yeah. Correct. And what we found, so here's another tidbit that we found, right? So, and I know it sounds crazy, but it works and it feels great. So after the marathon, we would finish, so our routine was very simple. We would finish a marathon, go have Mexican food. I think it's because of the salt.
Right. Replenishing. Yep. Yeah.
So
and
Mexican
nice
food.
Tall beer.
Big beer. Okay.
I don't drink. So there you go. We would go for a long hike.
Okay.
So if we were at a town that had hills or a trail, we would go and find it and go for a 2 or 3 mile hike. Very slow, kind of just hiking around. It would be better if it was hilly or mountainous because then your legs could stretch. Huh. But we found that that really worked out the legs, not in a hard, tough way, just used the muscles differently. But then the next day, there was no pain.
Really? So same day, you would go for
same
a long
day.
Walk?
Huh. Yep.
And so you told me this, but I didn't catch it. Usually just about 3 days recovery. Just 3 days off, 4 days off.
Yep. That's what we give. That's what worked for us. Now everybody's different.
Sure.
Right. And now we've heard, you know, ice bath thing. I've never
done
do
that.
It's just not my thing.
Well, it's wildly different people's recovery because I have had experts tell me, no, you need to take a whole week off running and then the second week really do very little. So like almost 2 weeks off, which is incredibly hard for me. And I obviously, if you're training for another marathon, then that's really hard. So I like your method. That sounds helpful.
It worked for us. I think what I've found is running is very personal. This is what I found, right? I would love to be very skinny. I can't. That's not my body. I've tried. You know, I've eaten well. I eat well. I'm lucky that I can do that. I have a gym, I go running. My body just doesn't allow less than something to weight. I don't know why, it just doesn't. So I've learned to kind of welcome that, I guess, and accept it, that I know I will never do a 240 marathon. Mm-hmm. I'm cool with that now. It took a while, but, and I'm okay. You know, I finished the marathons, and when I first started, I think I told you this before, I'm very competitive, so I tried to go very fast. I wasn't having a lot of fun. Jonathan was, right? He would meet, at the end of the marathons, he would say, I met, like, this person from Montana, this person from this one, and I would, like...
So you had the speed goal, and he was just saying, I'm just going to have fun right. and finish.
That's exactly. it. Yeah. That's it. And then, again, Lynn was like, you know, you just slow your butt down and enjoy the marathon, and I think... one of the Disney, there was some speaker and they were like, you paid all this money, slow it down, enjoy the race, right? So per mile, he broke it down to like a penny.
Oh, that was Jeff Galloway.
Yeah, Jeff Galloway, sure.
Or something like that.
Walk, run, relax, yeah, take your walk breaks.
Yep.
That's right.
And I think after doing that, and it took me like 15 marathons to kind of figure that one, I don't know, I enjoyed myself a little better. Like it was good, right? You get to see the cities and the towns that you're running through, or sometimes just the fields.
Mm.
Like in Iowa, when we ran marathon to marathon. you know, you're basically running 26.2 miles through cornfields.
Mm.
And it was beautiful if you just kind of relax and take it all in. And it was a really nice, really small marathon. But at the end, and unfortunately that one doesn't exist anymore, but at the end, the ladies in the town of Marathon would cook for the runners.
Is that right?
So
at the
it was
high
really
school
cool.
gym.
That's beautiful. So yeah. The two towns called Marathon, and you run between them, or you go around?
No,
from one
you
to
run
the
from
other.
Storm Lake, Iowa, into Marathon, Iowa.
Okay.
And that's hence the Marathon to Marathon, and it's you literally start in what you think is a small town until you finish in what's an even smaller town.
So I want to get to the fun stuff. I know you get asked this a lot, and it's really hard to answer. What would you say was, and I'll have five of these for you, what would you say was the most challenging course that you ran? We'll start with the hard one.
For me, it was Wyoming.
Okay, and why is it particularly Wyoming?
So I'm not a trail runner. So this one, it is considered, and it is marketed as the toughest marathon in the United States. I would totally agree with that.
Okay, the toughest in the United States because of the trails or for some other reason?
So it's a combination. You have the altitude and the trail. So it's you're only running on paved road for about maybe 3 miles. The rest of the time it's trail. And now it's compact trail, so it's not terrible trail, but it's still a trail. But you start at a really high altitude and you're running down for like 4.5 miles. But you have to remember that what goes down...
In this case.
Must come back up again, because that's where you finish. So you're doing 13.1 miles going downhill, and then you do 13.1 miles going uphill.
Yeah. Second half.
Ooh. The second half. By the time you get to 24 miles, the last 2 miles, you're going up about 1,700 feet in altitude. So it's pretty steep, and your legs are pretty dead. And that was the one marathon I thought I was never going to finish.
Yeah. He looked at me and said... I'm done at mile 25. I'm not going to finish this. And I said, you do realize the car is at the finish line. I was like, there's no getting out of it.
That's great. That's a horrible course design. I'm sure it was amazingly beautiful, but to have that much elevation in the last couple miles,
it was
that's
rough.
Hard.
I guess for me, I think the worst, and this has nothing to do with the race itself, it was probably one that was called ET Midnight Marathon, and that was in Rachel, Nevada, and it's 2 hours outside of Las Vegas, and we were told, again, by our friend Lynn here in Tampa, she said, oh, that's one of the best, most fun races I've ever run. So we were like, cool, sign us up. So we go and met another friend of ours, Joanne from Riverview. We all flew out there. Our nephew Joseph joined us. And getting out there, the bus ride from Vegas, I knew it wasn't a good sign when I woke up, because it starts at midnight. And I thought, I'll get a little bit of sleep on the bus. Woke up to the sound of hail hitting the bus in the middle of the desert. And I thought, that's not a good sign. So then we get to, they drop you off literally in the middle of the desert. You can't see anything. It's out by Area 51. And this is the whole alien theme. It's supposed to be really cool. I probably wouldn't mind doing it when it's ideal weather. We get out there. The wind is blowing in between the wind and the rain, which I'm like, it rains in the desert. It was bizarre. Oh. The wind's coming at us, and the sand is blowing and hitting us. And this was before they even let us start, because they couldn't let us start because they were afraid of lightning. Finally, we get started, and then it's just raining so hard in the wind, and it rained for about 13 miles, like downpour Florida style for 13 miles. Then after it rained, it's pitch black out there. You're supposed to be able to see the sun or the moon. No moon, because it's cloud. You can't see your hand in front of your face. And finally, I'm running, and we all have lights, and this lady I get up next to, she goes, could you stay next to me for the next mile at least? And I said, yeah, sure. I said, that's fine. She goes, you don't need to talk. It just makes me nervous when all I hear are the coyotes. I was like, all righty. So that was probably, it was an odd, really bizarre experience for a marathon. And granted, they put on a really nice marathon, but it was very small.
and that the weather was obviously the deciding factor.
Yeah, there. And you're running in, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning, hearing wild animals that you almost just wish the rain would come back to drown out the noise from these animals you can't see.
That had to have been a rarity. Like you said, it's not very common.
Yeah, and everybody was like, oh, I ran it and all you could see was stars and the moon. I'm like, yeah, well, I didn't see anything except the tractor trailer that was coming at us for an hour, because it's a long straight road, and all I could see was just, I hope he's coming to run me over to put me out of my misery.
I'm amazed you guys both finished.
Yeah, we actually did.
It was a beautiful sunrise.
It was a beautiful sunrise.
It was good.
After a stormy night.
I have a very hard time running when I'm wet, so that may not have been my race.
People were in costumes and shedding those throughout. It was strange.
So that was the most challenging. We got through it. Now I have to ask, which one was overall the most fun in terms of spirit, crowds, whatever you guys would define as fun? You can pick several if you want.
I think one of the real fun ones, oh gosh, there's so many. Marine Corps Marathon is one we do every year. And that's a lot of fun because I think that there's a lot of patriotism involved. And it kind of falls in that rank for me of anyone can do it. And a lot of people, everybody does it for completely different reasons. And one of them, I guess it's the 13th mile or before the halfway point, they have what they call the Blue Mile. And it's very inspirational. And I'm going to get choked up. I don't know why. But they have pictures of, you know, fallen soldiers and people holding their kids. And you realize these are people that, you know, fought for this country. And it has a lot, you know. It's pretty emotional for me. And it's the quietest point in the race. Mm. And that's one of my favorites. And another one, you know, like I said, I just think that race is so well run. Another favorite of mine is probably Louisiana Marathon. Mm. I thought that, you know, we went with not much expectation. And it was so well put together. And had the best finish. I mean, the most incredible food, live bands. You know, they give you 6 drink tickets, I believe, at the end. And I only drank like 2 drinks. And I had people coming up, are you going to use your other 4? I'm like, my goodness, you went through 6 already. So that was a lot of fun. Every one of them is completely different and fun for their own experience.
Oh. Yeah. That's interesting. I would never think Louisiana, oh, that one's going to be one of the best.
But. Oh, it's a party town. And it's Baton Rouge, so you're not even in New Orleans, which is an even bigger party town. But it's very Mardi Gras-centric. In fact, it's right around Mardi Gras.
Interesting.
I guess they have a lot of different ones that, you know, that have their fun for their own various reasons. I didn't expect the fun ones.
For me, I think one that comes to mind, it's just another small one, it's Pocatello.
Pocatello.
In Idaho.
Yes. Okay.
So that was a fun to get there because our flight was canceled. So we had to take a later flight. We arrived in Salt Lake at midnight. We drove to Pocatello, Idaho.
Wow.
2 hours.
2.5 hours. We got there at 2:15 or 2:30. We had another runner pick our stuff up because we weren't going to be there in time. So they were very kind. They delivered it to our hotel. We came into the hotel. The lady was expecting us because we had called ahead of time. We checked in, changed to running clothes, got into bed, got up 2 hours later, got the bus where they drove up to the mountain for you to drive to run back down again. So we kind of slept on the bus a little bit. And then you get a 5-pound bag of potatoes.
At the end.
Oh, cool. Now, this is another downhill one, it sounds
another
like.
Another downhill one, yeah. So, I mean, come somewhat downhill for a little bit, at least anyway. But at the end, they have a lot of food, small town camaraderie, you know, kind of cool. The one that surprised me the most was the LA Marathon.
Really?
Huh. So I personally don't care for Los Angeles. I think it's a horrible city. That's just me. I don't like anything about it. I think it's busy, whatever. But the marathon, you start at Dodger Stadium, and you run down to Santa Monica.
Oh, cool.
But the way it's designed, you go through every major tourist attraction that there is, and how often do you get to run through the middle of the city.
Wow.
Through all these major attractions with no traffic.
That it was great. Amazing.
It was really a cool marathon. Completely unexpected.
And I've been to Santa Monica. I think it's beautiful. There are some parts of the city that are really well, but like you, I would never think like, oh, LA,
right.
You know, this is going to be a great marathon because of the traffic and everything. Correct. But that day, it's all shut down, I guess.
It was shut down. It was cleaned. It was really kind of surprising. And it was very welcoming. We've been to other cities where the locals feel like the marathon is impeding on their daily lives. So over the years, what we found is we've started gravitating to more small races. Because one, you go to smaller towns, I think they're more appreciative of your dollars, right? You get there, you support the locals. One of the last ones that we did, and we tried for 3 years to do this marathon.
Really? Okay.
It's called the Green River Marathon.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Right. Yeah, in Massachusetts. So it counts as Massachusetts or Vermont because you begin the marathon in Vermont, 13 miles in Vermont, and you run along the river down to Massachusetts. Stunning. Not a lot of support on the as far as people because
on the race route, yeah.
Because it's, again, it's a quasi-trail, non-trail marathon. But the trail is very compact, it's very well done, and it's stunning. You're running along the river, and it's really, really a pretty race. And again, at the end, they had music, it was very well organized. They had a surprise. They gave us a t-shirt that we didn't expect. And all the runners just kind of hang out waiting for other runners to come in. That I think that was kind of cool.
Oh, yeah, they had food trucks in there for us.
They did. Oh, yeah, they did. Another one that it's completely surprising was the one that we did in Arkansas.
Oh, Hawkeye Marathon.
Hawkeye Marathon.
Hawkeye. Okay.
It's, again, low expectation.
Right, you're like, okay, it's going to be in Arkansas. We have to do one in Arkansas, and?
It was great.
Yeah. It was so, yeah, it was on a trail system that I did not realize the state of Arkansas invests a lot of money. And I will say that the Walton family, you may love or hate Walmart, they invest a lot of money in the state of Arkansas.
Okay.
And they have a first-class trail system that goes throughout the state, from what I understand, and the marathon runs along the trail system, and it's completely paved. It's not unpaved, and everywhere we went, there's splits to go to, and it gives you signs. You can go to Fayetteville this way or go to this city, and I was like, wow, this is incredible. So well maintained.
Yep. And another surprise at the end, we got a sort of a jacket at the end.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it was really nice. So that was another one.
Lots of surprises, huh?
Some of them are like, it's really cool. Yeah. So, oh, and they give you a pig nose.
So you guys have kind of already covered my next question, which is which ones are culturally unique, because you've talked about some of these small towns already, including Arkansas, the Hawkeye. But are there others that come to mind that you say, this really shared the culture of this place more than I expected, or that was really remarkable to you?
Definitely Louisiana showcased their culture. Some of the city marathons themselves, like personally, I think, you know, Twin Cities does a great job showcasing both Minneapolis, St. Paul, and they make it into, I always said it's a 26 mile long block party.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, it is, there's no room to stop and gather your thoughts because everyone has parties on their front lawns. Trying to think of some of the other cultural, one we actually literally just ran, which is in Maui, the Maui Oceanfront, that had a lot of, you're literally running along the ocean. I think it kind of displayed, we saw whales along that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was your last one, right?
That was Hawaii. The last one just a couple
weeks
ago.
Did you purposely save Hawaii for like, okay, this is going to be our climax, our best one, our last one.
50th state and the 50th states.
Yes, yes. There's a lot of symbolism there. Obviously, you guys didn't go in order, but no. So I think the ones you told me about also, the fun ones, like yeah. LA, those were all culturally significant.
Space Coast is also culturally significant in the sense that you're running on the Space Coast, and it's historically where space, you know, exploration sort of culminated in Florida back in the 1950s and into the 60s, and it still has that feel. Okay. The start, you know, it's a countdown with the space shuttle. They blow smoke, you know, pretend smoke like you're literally at the bottom of the space shuttle. And that's pretty cool. It's a very NASA-themed route.
Yeah. Think of one that I thought, it's not necessarily cultural, but I thought it was really cool. When we ran in Colorado, the Rockies Marathon, the winner of that particular, and I don't know if he does this in every marathon that he runs or whatever, but the winner waited for all the runners to finish shook their hand at the very end.
Wow.
That was impressive. It was really impressive. It was a young guy, and he just wanted to celebrate everybody's win, no matter what their time was. I thought it was really cool.
That is awesome. It must not have been a huge marathon.
I don't think maybe 500 people, maybe 600.
Okay.
But he waited for everybody. And there are some slow runners. I mean, because at that time, I think I was still doing 4-hour marathons.
Sure.
And we were waiting. We kind of hung out with some friends and things. We waited probably an hour and a half. And people were still coming in, and he was still there.
That's awesome.
So I thought that was really cool.
So Rockies being you're running in the Rockies or at the base of the Rockies.
Yes.
So you're running downhill again. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah.
Was that a purposeful choice that you chose some downhill-oriented ones, or they just happened to be like, oh, this is a good course?
I think it was what we selected. I'll be honest with you, half of these we didn't really know. We relied on other runners. And in these groups, in Facebook, you can join these groups on Facebook. Even you don't have to belong. You can just join the Facebook group. And you'll hear about people's experience in other marathons. Mm. And believe me, runners are very honest. Right?
Brutally.
It was bad.
You're going to hear about it. Now, is this the 50 States group or is this the Marathon Maniacs?
Both.
Both. They're both on Facebook.
So it's a combination of. So okay. You will find that many of the Maniacs belong to the 50 States.
Got it.
And most of the 50 States belong to Maniacs as well. So it's just, I think because it's just like a camaraderie, it's a group thing. So
even if you haven't met that threshold of 10 different state marathons, you can still join the Facebook group and read up about it.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's really cool. And I think that's cool. It kind of inspires you, right? It kind of just says, all right, I can do this. And you hear people's stories, and I think that's really, really cool.
Well, if you guys don't mind, in terms of local expertise, I'm sure you have a list somewhere. I'd love to just post the list in the show notes and on the website of all the marathons that you ran so that people can look at that and say, oh, this is how they did it, or at least remember the things that we talked about.
Yep.
That would be awesome. So the last kind of best one that I wanted to ask you about is the best views Was there a place, a marathon, that you thought, man, this is absolutely breathtaking. I'm never going to see something like this if I hadn't chosen this marathon?
Ooh, that's a good one. So there's a couple. Obviously, the Hawaii.
Okay.
The Maui oceanfront. I think the views just... I think looking at all the like the whales, when you, there was a particular whale that followed us for like 4 miles, and it was kind of cool, you know, to see the same whale over and over and over again. And the views are just really, really nice, right? It just is. Jack and Jill Marathon in Washington State.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Okay.
So beautiful.
It's, that one is a downhill, but it's a slight downhill. Again, a trail. So you begin going through a 2-mile tunnel. So you have to bring lights with you. And it's a tunnel of 2 miles. It's dark. It's you run through 2 miles of it. And then at the other end, you come out on the other side of the mountain. And it's just a slight downhill all the way for 26 miles. And it's trail. So it's but it's compact trail again, but it's rocky or whatever. But it's, you can go fast. A lot of BQs people, you know, go there. But the, when you running around the mountains is really stunning.
Washington State is stunning in general, but this sounds like a great one.
It is, because it's, you're east of Seattle. So you're about an hour and a half east of Seattle where you're running.
Okay.
It's a fairly well run marathon. It's kind of, it's nice. There, again, not a lot of people on the course, obviously, because it's very narrow.
Yeah, single track.
Yeah, so it's, yeah. I mean, it's wide enough for a vehicle, but I mean, it, you can get some good speed.
Cool.
Going down. What's another one? I mean, Pocatello was nice.
Pocatello is beautiful, and I think for me, palm trees and beaches don't necessarily impress me.
Because you're used to it. Because
we're from Florida. So it's like, it doesn't impress me at all, to be honest. So running along the beach is, you're running along the beach. It's just a normal day for us. I think for me, and Pocatello comes to mind because I did crack up because when we were running it, you know, I just kept just stopping just for a second to just take in the beauty because you're running down the mountain trails. And I just stopped and I said to this one girl, she goes, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Oh yeah, I'm just taking a quick glance." And she goes, "Oh, you must not be from here." And I said, "No," I said, "this is absolutely beautiful." And she goes, "Oh yeah, where are you from?" And I said, "Oh, Tampa, Florida." And she goes, "Oh yeah, I'd probably be the same if I was running along the beach." I'm like, "Yeah, that doesn't impress me." she goes, "I guess we take for granted what we have in our own backyard." And I said, "That is so true." Another one that I think for beauty-wise, and yeah, it was along the coast, was the Maine Coast Marathon, I think is what it's called. But it's put out by Shiprock Brewery is the main sponsor.
Oh.
And that runs along the coast. It starts in like Kennebunkport and runs along that whole area. And for the most part, you're right along the coast, and it is a little hilly. It can be a little challenging. But the nice part is the weather up in Maine. It's, you know, you're outside of Portland. I think it was in the summer and it didn't get above 60, which is just perfect, ideal running weather. It was just absolutely gorgeous. That was another kind of understated one.
Nice to go through Portland. I'm sure that's how you arrive.
Yeah, well, it's actually, we flew into Boston for that one because then it's only about a half hour, 45-minute drive up to southern point of Maine. Yeah, you don't even realize it's that close. And that one I thought was quite beautiful as well.
Green River is another one. Green River, Massachusetts, and Vermont, obviously.
Okay, Massachusetts.
Yeah, so Green River Marathon. I think it's because you're running in two states. So you're running in Vermont, which is stunning anyway in its own right. But then the trail, it brings you to places that you normally wouldn't go.
Right, right.
You know, and I think that's the beauty of it, because it takes you off the beaten, you know, off to the beaten path, you know, off completely where it's just very local.
Yeah, you're not in some resort in Vermont.
Correct. Yeah. So it was beautiful.
Missoula was awesome. Another beautiful one. Missoula, Montana, and you're running... you know, they, again, bus you 26.2 miles out from downtown, and then you're running back into the city, and it's a little hilly, but you're running just the scenery is beautiful. And then I think the best part was there was one point we're coming kind of around. It's kind of mountainous. And then all of a sudden we hear piano music. It's like, that's really weird. You know, so we look and it's this guy, he lives out there next to the marathon route. And he wheels, apparently does this every year. No one told us. Wheels his grand piano out onto the front yard, basically, and dresses up in a tuxedo, and all the runners runs by, and he's playing classical music on his grand piano out on his front lawn.
In the middle of the prairie. That's cool.
So that was cool.
Yeah. That's really cool. That it sounds like just the places you guys have seen over the past 7 years, you know, places you'd never see otherwise, I think is what makes this kind of an adventure really worth it. You know, it's so beautiful. And now you can say you've seen these corners of the country that just remarkable, that only your feet can take you, really.
Yeah, because one thing I always like to tell people is everybody, you know, checks off the majors. They always want to do the majors. They always want to do this big city. And you know, I'll say our Illinois was Chicago. And for me, Chicago was, you know, it wasn't what maybe I thought it would be. I thought it would have a great ending. And literally the ending at Chicago, for at least from my perspective, was I grabbed my beer and then, you know, I can't guzzle a beer. So I was like, oh, this was nice. Go to take two sips and then go to leave the park. And they type, oh, you can't bring your beer out of here. So I'm like, well, where am I going to stand? Just right here. And so you look and there's a pile of beer that's maybe two sips have been, everybody leaves their beers there. And I was like, this is the most anticlimactic marathon I've ever run. It was not what I expected. But then on the flip side, the small marathons have been the biggest surprises. The towns really rally around it. Albany, Georgia was one that I literally thought, oh, this, we're just going to check this off. It's 4 hours from Tampa, in, out, done, check the Georgia box. And I will tell you, that town really put a lot of spirit into it, as did a lot of the smaller towns. Hmm. You know, they were all so proud to showcase their cities. It was amazing.
That's
the
beautiful
support from those towns. People on their front lawns, you know, passing out drinks.
It's so personal. Like, there's only 400 or 500 runners in a race.
Is.
And you're like, it's not like these, like Chicago, New York, where you just blob flying by and millions of others.
Yeah, you know, you get to ones like Miami, and they, you know, to your point, I know you mentioned that. Like, in Miami, it was sort of like they were more upset that the runners were, you know, blocking their streets. It was just like, that was bizarre. It was sort of, I know a lot of people love Miami and go down there, but for me, it was just, again, it was like, oh, you know, sorry to bother you. We're running a marathon, you know. But then it was the smaller towns that really just appreciate the runners being there. And it shows. And it, you know, like I said, Arkansas was one. I mean, we could just name off a bunch that just were so happy to have the marathon community there.
Cool. And when you guys send me the list, I'll put stars next to the ones that are the small towns, the ones you really
that I would totally
loved
support. Yeah.
And would like to support. I'd love to get that out there to people.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's so many that just
one
really
that's,
love it.
One that's a good one that we didn't mention was Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Oh.
Pittsburgh Marathon. That's a big city, big marathon, very well organized.
Oh, yes.
And it's really pretty. Mm. Like, you run through the entire city, basically, and some of the suburbs, and the town does come out and support, which it was really nice.
Oh, that's a great trip. I would have never thought.
And they have, and it's a nice one because they have a 10K, a half, and a full.
Okay.
So whatever activity you want to do, and not everyone have that, but the majority of them do at some level. But that's one that it was kind of unexpected, and it was a nice surprise too.
I know that a lot of people also do 50 states with half marathons if
Correct.
They're not up for running a full. So that's good to know. You know, you can go through and do the same thing, map it out, and find those.
Yeah, and if you plan it, it is expensive, and we are very lucky, right, that we can do this, right? Because it's not just one, it's two,
right?
But if you plan it. If you plan it well in advance, you can find flights that are not that expensive. you can drive to so many of them. I mean, like we we drove to most of the Southeast.
Sure.
So
those states around. Simple. Yep.
Correct. If you look at it, sometimes they have back to back, like they have a Saturday and a Sunday near the state, so you can drive. We did that when we did Iowa and we did South Dakota back to back.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
So we did Iowa on a Saturday, South Dakota on a Sunday.
Not entirely recommended.
That was a tiring one. That was a tiring weekend.
Yep. But it, you know, so if you plan it, you know, if you plan it ahead, you can definitely get this done. You know, if you can find, not especially now, you can find homes that you can stay in, or the more you get to know runners and you can share rooms or what have you, if you're comfortable with that. So there's ways that you can share a vehicle if you're not comfortable sharing a room, right? Mm-hmm. So you can share a vehicle and at least share the cost. And we hear that from other runners, and you know, we definitely would offer, you know, hey, we're doing this if you want us to pick it up or whatever. That would be fine too. And that's, you know, again, if you plan it, I think it takes a little bit of planning, not a lot, but it takes a little bit of planning. What I would recommend is if you're going to do this, you know, become a member of hotels and airlines and things like that, because you definitely want to get the benefit of, you know, getting something back from the airlines or the hotels that you're supporting. And it does make a difference.
Earn some points, because over time those add up. That's one thing I was going to ask. Any other tips that you guys have accumulated or learned from in this process?
Yeah, you don't need a lot to run a marathon or to run a half. You really don't. When we started, we would pack all kinds of stuff.
Uh-huh. And
literally, I mean, as the years went by and the more we learned, you pack less and less, right? So you need your essentials, your hat, your, you know, whatever, your shoes, don't forget your shoes, your garment, your watch, your shorts and what have you. But then that's really all you need, you know.
Most cities have a good running store. And that's another thing. I always support the local running store every city we go to. And I try to buy a shirt from that local running store. And some are better than others, and I always say, why don't you have a branded shirt for your city? And then others are like, yeah, Tulsa had a great one. I've picked up some in Montana. But some of the other tips, like you mentioned, sort of the miles and the points, and this is good for anybody, especially in Florida, when you're trying to do your Alaska or your Hawaii. Those are the two furthest states and can be expensive. But for Alaska, both of us flew first class Tampa into Anchorage, and it was $29 for both of us because we had racked up so many miles on American Airlines. And wow. American Airlines has been our preferred for all of them. And then finally in Hawaii, it was nothing. We cashed in American Airlines points for two round trip first class. And I would tell any runner, and I know a lot of runners who try to do this on the cheap, you can cheap out on almost every state you go to except Hawaii. Here to Dallas was 3 hours, and then Dallas to Maui was a good 7 hours. So you want to be comfortable.
Okay, so I mean, be comfortable on the
way. That's a tip. But everything else, I mean, yeah, you can get by, you know, incredibly, you know, on the cheap. Some other tips I would have is don't get pulled into the hype of, oh, these $30 and $40 pasta dinners the night before that some of these races try to sell you. We have actually found for us, especially in the smaller towns where Italian restaurants are, you know, not as prevalent, you show up, you know, 6 o'clock in the evening the night before a marathon in a smaller town, there's an hour or 2 hour wait in that little Italian restaurant. So we tend to eat earlier in the day, a big carbohydrate loaded meal. And then that night we just sort of, you know, grab a sandwich or grab something or order a pizza in at the room. So, I mean, those are little tips that we've kind of learned is don't try to do your big meal when everyone else is trying to do their big meal. You know, I'm trying to think of other tips that we've kind of learned over the years. Yeah, the packing we've gotten much better at.
That's just a learn as you go kind of thing.
Learn as you go. I mean, we realize we don't use half the crap we bring, so we do total carry on when we go.
Okay.
We don't have to worry about a lot of things. You know, like you said, meeting up with other runners, you can tag a ride from them, and it is you also find that it becomes a smaller and smaller running community the more races you run. And we realize that because we have met so many great friends along the way that we're friends with years later. I mean, we have a couple of friends of ours that they've come here and run Gasparilla.
Okay.
You know, in Tampa. They've stayed at our house. We've stayed at their house, you know, out in California. So when we ran LA, we ran it with them. We've run, we've run in Maine with them. We've run in Montana with them. So another friend of ours here, in Tampa area, Joanne, we've run several with her up in Lake Placid, New York, at ET Midnight, she ran with us. So you do find that you meet these people along your journey that become really lifelong friends. And, you know, Tony Garrison in Kansas City, we stayed there when we ran the Garmin Marathon out of Olathe, Kansas. So, you know, we've run Marine Corps with Tony and, you know, and his wife, they've come down here and we've met up with them for dinner in Sarasota and different things. So that's the other kind of really cool side effect is the people that you meet along the way that become really lifelong friends that, you know, constant communication with.
That's awesome. And I think your tip regarding airlines was helpful. Hey, those last two, Alaska and Hawaii, save up some points, fly the best possible you can because you have to run the next day, you know. And that's also a great trip tip. All right. Well, lessons learned have been good ones, I think. And if you had one takeaway, maybe for someone who's new in running or someone who's thinking about their next challenge, what lesson have you learned from all this over the past 7 years that you would share with them?
Oh, goodness.
Do you have anything that really sticks out and say, well, this is what marathoning is about?
For me, it's just finishing the goal, right? To almost to say you've done something that not a lot of people have, right? And you can do it. That's pretty much it. And I think because I'm so competitive in my personal life and my career, I try to complete. I try not to wimp out, right? So on things. So I'm very lucky to say I did not have a DNF in any of my marathons so far. Came close, but not I didn't have it. and just give yourself license to, you know, walk when you want to and run when you need to and just have fun with it. That's been the lesson for me, kind of don't be so high strung. It's a everyday reminder, because I'm really high strung, but
it usually comes from me.
Right? In life, in general. So, but that's just me. So that's been my lesson, right? Just, you know, don't be so hard on yourself and just do it. And if anyone can do it, anybody can do it, right? So if I can do it, anybody can do it. And so it's just a matter of just try it out. That's just been my lesson, I guess.
That's awesome. Thank you, George.
I think my lesson is, you know, don't get caught in your own head. Just, you know, like he said, enjoy it. And I've always felt that way since the beginning. But I think, yeah, that for me, I get stressed out even not so much during the race or, you know, even before. I like to be kind of the organized one. And if something doesn't go my way and we don't get dinner at 4 o'clock, that, you know, I start to get antsy. So I guess I've also learned to just sort of, or hopefully still trying to learn how to just back off from my own mental schedule, because you will find in running that some of it's just not going to go according as planned. And but yeah, you just got to enjoy it and enjoy what you've actually accomplished and who you've accomplished it with. You know, just enjoy that part of the journey, because, you know, For most of us, that only comes around one time. We've known people that have done multiple 50-state journeys. But just to get there, it's not insurmountable. That I think anyone, like you said, can do it. I mean, it's definitely something that it's the best way to see the country. Because if you fly into a city, you're only going to see the airport and then wherever you end up. If you drive to a city, you're only going to see the interstate and the road. When you run a city, you are going to see every single house, every single face, every single trail, every single tree. And that's something that's the best way to see a city. You'll never see it any other way than as a pedestrian. So
That's so awesome. Well, thank you so, so much, guys. George and Jonathan, fresh off their last Hawaii marathon run in 50 states and a cadre of others. And as we finish up here, I just want to, again, thank you guys so much for doing this. And also ask you what's next. That's probably the question on everyone's brain now. Like, oh, they did this amazing thing. What possibly could they do greater than this? What are you guys looking forward to now, either in running or in life?
Going to Disney World.
I'd like to do Antarctica Marathon.
Okay, Antarctica. So, I've heard good things.
I've heard good things about it. There's a couple of people that we know from Tampa that have done it. So you have to obviously fly down to Argentina, and then you go to Chile, and then you take a ferry over to Antarctica, and then you run it, basically. So that would be kind of fun. It'll be like a long trip, sort of 10 days. I like to visit Patagonia and the glaciers that they have before they go away. Mm. So I like to see that. Which is a really stunning drive if you've ever done it. It's just really beautiful, and you see all kinds of animals. And you have to be that's a trip that you have to be prepared, because there's no gas, there's no amenities. So that's a long, probably 10-day trip that I think it would be kind of fun. That would be my next thing, I think.
Okay, cool. Good, and it's one of those continents that you don't normally get to go to. Correct. To run. So,
And then I think more immediate. We're already signed up for, again, Marine Corps marathons.
So, you'll be there soon.
It's definitely one, as you could tell, I get emotional about, and it's definitely a fun one and has a lot of meaning, and we've done that almost every year for the last several. And then I'm also already eyeing, like, repeats. So, ones that I know, I'd love to go back and see. Go St. Louis is one that, we did well on, and it was our first out-of-state marathon, so
St. Louis Marathon.
I'd like to go back and repeat that, and as we move up to the Twin Cities area in a few months, it's close in proximity. So for me, that was just one. I was like, it's coming up in April. Maybe we'll sign up for that. So
all right. So some ones around home or second home anyway. We will miss you, but also know that you will be coming back to the Tampa area often, and we're grateful to have your wisdom and your fun spirit, joy de vivre, joy of living to bring to our Run Tampa Club, and thank you for taking time to share.
Oh, thank you.
Again, cool. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys. Happy running.
Thank you.
And what an awesome episode. Thank you again for taking time to listen and join in. It was so much fun to talk to these guys, and they love to hear from people. If you have a question, you can connect and reach out to them. I'm sure they'll answer it, and I can try to answer questions that you have as well, or you can share things with us that you have in your knowledge about different marathons or different races that you found unique across the U.S. and beyond. Many different goals out there, many ways to approach running, and all of them good if you're doing it in community and you're striving towards something that brings meaning and purpose to you. So until next time, wish you and yours happy running, and hope that you can join us on our next episode of Running Anthropologist, or for one of our challenges, virtual challenges on Running Anthropologist. Maybe a summer Camino along the Camino de Santiago. Reach out to us and talk more. I'll be posting everything from today on our blog site. You can see details about the races, as well as links to virtual challenges and other things we've discussed in recent episodes and all our past episodes. Again, thank you for listening, and look forward to hearing from you. Till next time, happy running.